Let everybody say amen once again. God has been good to us all once again. And as I always like to say to you, if you don't think God has been good to you, think of the alternative. Think of where you could be right now and look at where you are right now. This morning, the scriptures was read for your hearing from two spots this morning, from Matthew 10 and verse number 28 and from Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 25. We'll revisit the scriptures in a moment, but let us first of all thank God in prayer. Thank you, O God, for all that you have done for us, O Lord. Thank you for blessing us to see another new day, another fresh day this morning. And Father, I know that the weather may seem extreme to some, but thank you, Lord. Thank you for it anyway. Thank you, Father, when it wasn't so hot as it is now. But thank you most of all, Father, that you have allowed us to just be here to see these days. I thank you, O Heavenly Father, that we are members of your Son's body. I thank you that we are members of the Lord's church. I thank you, O Heavenly Father, for those who are in charge of this congregation, those elders who lead this congregation. I thank you for their families. I pray for those brethren who have taken part in the services thus far. And I pray and thank you for their families, and I pray for each and every member in here this morning and for their families also. I know, Father, that sometimes we as Christians, we get a little backwards and wayward from time to time. But please, Father, just stay with us and allow us, O Lord, to give us that space and time that we may bring ourselves in the fold and continue to live in thy ways and thy words, O Lord. Thank you this morning, Father, for those who are sick and unable to be with us today. Thank you for those who are here today, but maybe not feeling as well as they'd like to feel. Just thank you, Father, for everything. I thank you this morning, Father, for the churches all over this world who are trying to hold up that bloodstained banner. I thank you this morning, Father, for those who are protecting us this morning. And I pray for the parents who are watching over and keeping their children. And Father, we have had another violent night in this city, and we just pray, O Lord, that peace shall come not only to the world around the world, Father, but also just around the corner from each and every one of us. We pray for peace. We pray and thank you, O Heavenly Father, for those who are standing on the battlefields all over this world. We thank you for them as well. We thank you for the one who got up this morning and said, thank you, Lord. We thank you for the one who laid down last night and said, thank you, Lord, before they went off to sleep. We thank you for food, shelter, and clothing. And most of all, Father, we thank you that your Son went up Calvary's hill, hung up on the cross, and died on our behalf. Thank you, O Lord. And now, my Heavenly Father, I pray that the services that have been rendered thus far would be found favorable in thy sight, as well as everything to come from this point on, O Lord. Be with us, O Lord. Continue to bless those who are standing in need of their blessings, O Lord. And continue to give all of us what we need in this world today, O Lord. Be with us and watch over and keep us in the name of your Son, Jesus. We continue to ask it all. Let us all say amen. This morning, I know many of you have probably said, I've had enough of the heat by now. And then some of you are thinking like I've been thinking. I've been thinking that, boy, we're having an old-fashioned summer right now. We don't get these that often, and when they come around, we pretend, or some of us act as if we can't stand it. But think of the alternative if you can't stand it. And then you'll probably settle down and say, I'll get by. This morning, from those two texts that were read for your hearing, we want to talk about fear God and not man. Many times in God's Word, we find the words fear not. And even in today's text, we are told to fear not him or man, but rather to fear God. In life, certain things tend to bring fear into people's hearts. Some are afraid of not living long enough to realize their dreams. Some fear living too long and running out of money, while others fear the word eternity. But I think that the greatest fear of all is the fear that keeps most of us stressed out, is the fear of mankind itself. Most people who have lived for any length of time on this earth will speak of some fear or another. What may be a fear to you may be small and inconsequential to me. But nevertheless, there's fear in all of us about something. Some folk fear not waking up tomorrow. Some folk have a phobia about snakes and they fear snakes. Some folks fear that I'm going to get fat and I'm not going to be able to wear my clothes. Some say I'm already fat and I'm not worried about my clothes. I fear I might get small. But just how what you fear is in your category of what your fears are. But the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 28. Look at that text with me, if you will. In Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 28, it says, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." So I guess we want to just kind of look at, first of all, what is fear? Well, in the Hebrew language, there are two words for fear. One of them means reverence and the other means terror. As in Exodus 15 and verse number 16, where the Bible speaks of men in fear and being as still as a stone. Fear can cause fright, as in Proverbs 29 and 25. The fear of man bringeth a snare, or a trap, if you will. But whosoever puts his trust in God, in the Lord shall be safe. The fear of God is something different. It is described in Psalms chapter 111 and verse number 10. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding and a good understanding have all they that do his commandments, for his praise endureth forever. Fear of the Lord is not a bad kind of fear. It's just putting things in its proper perspective. It's just letting us to know that God is bigger than you and I. It's just letting us know that the fear of the Lord is used in the worship of the Lord. David wrote about it in Psalms chapter 34 and verse number 11, where he said, "Come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord." I believe it must be the fear of man that keeps men from coming to the Lord. Some fear for their reputations. Some fear what others may think. And some fear for their jobs. But I think most fear for what they would like have to give up if they became a Christian, if they came to the Lord. We must remember what the text says. We are not to fear men. We are not to fear him that can kill the body. And that him is men. We are not to fear him that can kill the body. And I may as well tell you, this was a commandment from God. This wasn't just a statement. This was a commandment directly from Jesus Christ. So we've got to learn to overcome fear if we want to live in God's kingdom, if we want to live with God and do God's will. When you go back to the text in chapter 10 of Matthew and verse number 28, the Bible says once again, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul." Both soul and body in hell. So this morning when you think about it, your fear should be not of man, but that of God. You should fear the Lord. Now fear of man keeps many from doing God's will. I can say that, I can't really say, as a matter of fact, I can't really say that I understand it. But I've heard of people say, for instance, who get married. And then they don't want anybody to know that they've gotten married. So they hide their marriage from others. And why, the question becomes, why would you hide your marriage? It could be because they were not supposed to be dating on their jobs. Perhaps they fear what others may think of them. But that's the same as one who proposes the love to love God, but don't want anyone to know that they are called by the name of Christian. Remember once again in Matthew chapter 10 and 28, fear not them who can kill the body, but fear him who can kill both body and soul in hell. A Christian should never be ashamed to admit they are a Christian. A Christian is a believer and a follower of Christ, and the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch according to Acts chapter 11, around about verse number 26. When we fear men knowing that we are finding out that we are Christians, we are spiritually dead Christians. Did not Jesus tell one of his disciples in Matthew chapter 8 around verse number 21 and 22 who wanted to take time out before following Jesus to bury his father? Jesus told him, "Follow me and let the dead bury themselves, or let the dead bury their own. Common sense lets us to know that Jesus was not speaking of the physical dead burying one another. He was speaking of those who were not akin to the service of the Lord. When men put other men before Christ, their Savior, they are standing on dangerous ground. When they are standing on a dangerous spot in their lives, they are saying that I think that I can do more by myself than I can do with God. When we are neglecting our Christian duties, we are in trouble. To some, this verse by Jesus appears to be harsh, where he said, let the dead bury their own. But God has a right to expect our reverence towards him, more so than even our earthly parents. Did he not say of those who were following him in Luke chapter 14 and verse number 26, if any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and wife, his children, his brothers and his sisters, and his own life, also he cannot be my disciple. We have got to learn that we must give the Lord our undying love, all of our love. We must love the Lord more than we love our earthly parents. Now, Jesus is not talking about turning us against our earthly parents. He is not saying that we should give up the love of our earthly parents. He is not saying that we should not care about one another in this world, because he talks of love all the time. But what he is simply saying, and he has a right to say, that if we're going to be in his service, we need to make sure that we are willing and ready to show our love and suffer for him if we need be. Just as he suffered for all of us when he went to yonder's cross. When he went to yonder's cross, he left the palatial palace of heaven to come to the pig pen of earth. And did he not give up being with his Father for us? And certainly we know how that he stretched out his glorious arm and he died for us. How that he died on yonder's cross for us, and many of us still don't appreciate it. Many of us are still in the mold where we say, if I let my friends know that I'm a Christian, they won't accept me anymore. Many are saying that if I let the folk on my job know that I'm a Christian, they might want to get rid of me and might not put me up for a promotion anymore. They may not want me to continue working at this company. But I got some news for you. When your working days are over, you must go to visit with the Lord at the judgment seat one day. When your working days are over and you can no longer stand up and work a job, you must still meet the Lord. Some are not willing to acknowledge him in the presence of other men. To them, I would simply say, be very careful. Be very careful that you won't acknowledge the Lord your God in the face of men, because if you fail to acknowledge him before men, he will fail to acknowledge you before his Father, which is in heaven. The fear of men keeps many a man from holding on to his convictions. When I think about just what we owe to God, my convictions began to bother me. My convictions began to say to me, my conviction is what I stand on to serve the Lord that I serve. When my convictions get shaky, I sometimes have to return to God's Word. I sometimes have to remember what the Bible says. And my convictions, which simply put, means that my causes or my ways that I follow God. What puts us in a position to stand up for God, we must stand on. We must never desert our convictions, no matter what man thinks of us. We must not give up our convictions. And when I go to Ephesians chapter 6, around verse number 11, we are told to put on the whole armor of God so that we may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Any man who fears man over and above his convictions has stepped back from being a Christian. He has stepped back from the love of God that has brought him to the spot that he is in today. The God who brought us to where we are. Fear can be devastating to some. To some, it may cause them to shift and lose sight of their goals. In the familiar text of Matthew chapter 14, somewhere around about verse number 28 and following, do you remember Peter asked Jesus to allow him to walk on the water, and Jesus told him, fine, Peter, come on in. But Peter, somewhere, something happened to Peter, somewhere around about that 30th verse. Somewhere around about that 30th verse, Peter became fearful, didn't he, church? He became fearful or afraid, and the Bible says, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he became afraid and began to sink, and he cried, Lord, save me. How many times have we been in trouble and we have listened to men and we have gotten ourselves into trouble and we have to turn back from the God that we ignored and say, Lord, help me get back to where I need to be. And in Proverbs 29 and verse number 25, remember what that text says. In Proverbs 29 and verse number 25, the Bible says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whosoever puts his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Oh, I tell you something, church. You can't beat the Lord for safety. You cannot beat the Lord in His safety net. God has a safety net that can catch this entire world because He's done it before and He can still do it again, can He, church? Many of us, when we start to fear things in this life, when we start to fear men and our fears conjure up wonderings and fears about the thoughts of men over what the will of the Lord is in our life, that's when we usually find ourselves in trouble. Just like Peter found himself in that trouble when he had to call upon the Lord. When we put the fear of man above the fears of the Lord, we are skating on thin ice on a frozen pond. When we fear God more than man, we are doing what God commands us not to do in the text of Matthew 10 and verse number 28. When we fear God less than we fear man, we are putting ourselves in deep trouble. We may have to stand sometimes all by ourselves when we fear God more than we fear men. Just like in 2 Timothy chapter 4, around verse number 16, the Bible said that Paul was standing all by himself. He was standing alone. And sometimes when you are a Christian, you have to stand by yourself. Sometimes you have to tell your friends don't understand why you are what you are. They don't understand your thoughts and your being for what you want to serve or who you want to serve, I should say. When you think about it, church, being a Christian is a job that requires all of our attention. It requires not some of your attention, but it requires all of your attention. It requires that we love the Lord more than we love anybody in this world. And when you think about it, we owe the Lord more than we owe anybody in this world. When we think about it, when we think about Jesus himself, he was abandoned as well. Peter denied him, Judas betrayed him, and the disciples, many of them, ran from him. Just as Judas had used Jesus for a few pieces of silver in Matthew chapter 26, but Jesus still called him a friend. Sometimes you just have to let your friends go. Sometimes it's good, as a matter of fact, to let your friends go. Sometimes a friend, I heard somebody describe it this morning. I've heard that before, Brother Burnside, where a friend comes in when everybody else is leaving. A friend steps in when you can't step up for yourself. And God has been a friend to all of us. When you go back to the text once again in Matthew chapter 10 and verse number 28, the Bible says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. We must still love those and still care about those who despitefully use us. Certainly we must not put the fear of man above the fear of God. We must fear God and keep His commandments. That's the whole duty of man. That's what we are told in the Old Testament in Ecclesiastes. I believe it's Ecclesiastes around chapter number 12. We must continue to do God's will as long as we're in this world. And some folk like to think that, well, there comes a point. And I've heard a man make this statement. That's why I say this. I heard a man make a statement one day. He said, I'm just not doing it anymore. He said, I've done all I can do. He said, I'm not doing it anymore. So my question to him was, have you given up on God? Or have you given up on yourself? And it sounded to me as though he had given up on God. And I talked with him and I had a conversation with him. And he later recanted that statement. Because you can't give up on God because God has not given up on us. When men fear men more than they fear God, especially to those of us who call themselves by the name of Christian. And like I always tell you, in order to spell Christian, you must first spell Christ. And if you can't spell Christ in your life, then maybe you shouldn't be wearing the title Christian. But then, when I think about Christians, how they open themselves up for easily falling into sin when they fear men more than they fear God. Sin breaks our fellowship with God, according to 1 John chapter 1, around verse number 6. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie. Our fellowship with God is broken because of sin. It keeps our prayers from being answered, according to Psalm 66, around verse number 18. If I regard my iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. And the only way that we can reach the Lord is through our prayers to the Lord. We can't phone the Lord. We can't send the Lord a letter. We can do only work through the Lord through our prayers to Him. When we fear men more than we fear God, it may come between us and God in our church attendance. Oh, here we go. It may come between us and God in our church attendance. When we think of going to church, church should not be a chore, but instead it should be a blessed experience. It should be an experience that we look forward to sharing and to meeting our spiritual brothers and sisters. According to Psalms 122, around about verse number 1, the Bible said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Some of us, we make it a real chore on Sunday morning. We make it such a chore that sometimes we just say, I'm not going today. But then didn't the Bible tell us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together in Hebrews chapter 10? And somebody will say, well, preacher, I tried to get up this morning, but I had too much trouble staying up on my feet. What time did you come home last night? What time did you get in bed last night? You didn't have trouble staying up on your feet while you were out and about, did you? So you shouldn't have trouble coming to church on Sunday. And while I'm here, you may as well know that while you're here, while you are in attendance with the service, while you are fearing the Lord more than you fear God, you ought to go a little deeper in your pocket. I just had to throw that in there. You need to make sure that you are giving back to God the way God has given unto you. And the way God has given unto you is impossible for us to pay Him back. When we concern ourselves about who may see me going to church, we are allowing our joy to be siphoned away. The surest way we can know that we are fearing man and not God is when we can boldly say that Satan doesn't bother me. When you can say Satan doesn't bother me, you have more of the fear of man than the fear of God, because Satan doesn't bother those that he already has. Isn't that right, church? Satan doesn't bother those who are already a member of his entourage, if you will. Satan only bothers you when you're not caught up in his web of deceit and despair. And many folk who call themselves Christians are so caught up in a web of deceit and despair, they don't know which way to turn. They don't know that their only way out is to go to God in prayer or through prayer. Surely all of us, even those of us who serve and fear God, shall have some trouble with Satan. But we must humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt us in due time, according to 1 Peter chapter 5 and around verse number 6. I tell you something, church. God has been good to us, and we need to learn to fear God and not fear man. When we think about that text again, that commandment, I should say again, and fear not them which kill the body, that's men, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now, the key word in there to me is hell. When you think about it, church, that doesn't leave any room for heaven right there unless you change your ways. You've got to change your way. You've got to stop fearing man. And when I say fear man, I don't mean you're terrorized by man alone, but you are succumbing to his ways. And I just got a little bit more time here as I close this out here quickly. just as I get ready to close it out, we must work out our soul salvation with fear and trembling according to Philippians chapter 2 around verse number 12. We must learn to accept the fact that God knows the prescription that He wrote for us in His Word. He knows what can heal us. He knows what can save us. He knows what's best for us. We don't. But yet, man in his feeble ways, in his feeble manner, man in his feeble attempt to be more than God, but he cannot. We have learned to fly airplanes. We have learned to send spaceships to the moon, or so they say. We have learned to explore outer space. We have learned to cure people of this and that, but you know something? We still can't cure the common cold. We have learned to accept that the ways of the world are just the way it is in some cases. And that's the excuse we use. We say that's just the way things are now. But you don't have to be accepting of men's ways. You can have God's way in your life. You can fear man. You cannot fear man, but fear God instead. God is something to be reverenced, and God is something to be feared, and not feared in the relationship to being scared of God. God has never asked us to be afraid of Him. In terms of just frightful of Him, He's asked us to have reverence for Him. He asked us for our love to Him. He asked us to give back to Him just like He has given to us. And I remember in one story in the Bible where the man asked God, what shall he do? And God told him, He said, sell everything that you have and follow me. Now, some of us have a problem following God. Some of us have a serious problem in following God. We say that I would follow God, but following God is going to require too much of me. Following God means I have to give up my Saturday night good times. Following God means I have to give up doing what I'm so used to doing. Following God sometimes means that I have to live my life in a completely different manner than I'm accustomed to living my life. And young folk, especially young folk, you know, young folk think we're old when we hit 30. But I got some news for you, young folk. You just keep on living, and you're going to get there too. If God allows you to continue to live on, you'll hit 30, and then will you consider yourself old, or will you just consider yourself just going on? When you feel what man says, and man says, well, you are too old to enjoy things of this life anymore, and you need to go somewhere and sit down. But God says this life is for all of us. And I think about the days of our lives. When you look at it, church, Psalms talks about the days of our lives. And the Bible tells us that we are, if a man lives to be 70 years old, he's doing well. But if by strength, by reason of strength, he lives to be 80, that's the gift of God. That's just God's goodness toward us. I was talking to Brother Lewis this morning. Brother Lewis told me he's going to stop at 120. I hope he makes it. I hope he makes it. Matter of fact, I hope I'm right there with him. I got Wayne giving me signals now, so it's time for me to sit down. Yeah. Thank you, Wayne. But I just want everybody to understand that God is good to all of us, and we need to fear God more than we fear man. We need to fear God because God is our maker. God is our creator. God is the one who we owe everything to. When I laid my head down in my pillow last night, when I woke my head up off of my pillow this morning, it was God who had been there through it all because I couldn't take care of myself while I was asleep, and neither can you. When I wake up every morning, the first thing that I do is thank God for allowing me to wake up, just as I did before I went to sleep the night before. And you know, sleeping is a dangerous situation because you're not your own. You are in the hands of a just God. But some of us live so close with Satan, we are in his hands. Some of us don't know from day to day where we're going to be at. Of course, tomorrow, none of us know that. But some of us don't know day to day how they're going to serve the Lord because they concentrate so much on serving Satan because they are fearing of man and not fearing God. I thank God this morning I thank God this morning that we have a decision we need to make. We need to make a decision that say to ourselves, am I going to fear God or am I going to fear man? Am I going to let man to rule my life or am I going to allow God to rule my life? And any sensible Christian or any sensible person who's has studied God's word ought to know that it's God that you want to rule your life and not man. So how can we set up this relationship with the Master? You know, being a part of the Lord means that you have to form a relationship with Him. How do I form this relationship with Him? How do I get on God's side or get God on my side so that we can work together? See, God is our helper. How do I get Him to help me before it's everlastingly too late? Well, you can come to the Lord by hearing, believing, repenting, confessing, and then being baptized. But somewhere, sometimes we do that and we walk away from it. When we walk away from it, that's the time we have to turn to God and ask Him to bring us back. And that's when you come forward in the church. Ask the church to pray for you that you may gather strength. And there are those who would say, well, and this is a fear of man, I would go up front, but I don't want everybody to know my business. Well, when you come up front, you don't have to tell everybody your business. You just have to ask God, ask the church to pray for you because you've already asked God to forgive you for whatever you, or ask God to bless you for whatever you've got on your heart. But you're just simply asking the church to help you. You don't have to tell us what you did. I don't need to know who you were with, where you were at, and what you did. That's not for me to know. That's between you and God. But at the same time, you must form this relationship with God that you can live in peace with God. I saw a sign over on 95th Street. It says something to the effect that if God seems far away, guess who moved? I thought that was pretty good. God has not moved from you. You have moved from God, in other words. So what are you going to put first? Are you going to put man first or are you going to put God first? You make your decision as we together stand and sing the song of invitation.